The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
We go to Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable, exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own Credit Union Studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org.
And that's going to be the ballgame. Georgia will win this ballgame.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
All right, a good Tuesday morning to all of you in the Bulldog Nation. Welcome to the Bulldog Roundtable, coming to you, of course, from the heartbeat of Dog Nation, and that is the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios right here in the Classic City. And let me, right off the top, let me remind you, if you miss any of the episodes of Bulldog Roundtable, you can catch them in podcast form at 680thefan.com and, of course, at 680 The Fan's mobile app. You can pick that up, download it on your phone. It's powered by T-Mobile, and catch any of the past episodes. A couple of things that just some housekeeping notes that I want to take care of. Tonight's basketball game was scheduled for a 6:30 tip against Missouri at Stegman. It's been moved to 7 p.m. tonight. So a 30-minute slide on that. Will be tonight at 7 as the Dogs take on their third consecutive top 25 ranked opponent with the Missouri Tigers coming to town. So just make a note of that. Also, I want to remind everybody, too, there's an athletic board meeting today, so we'll be getting a lot more information about some of the numbers to do with the finances through this past year of the pandemic that came out. Some of them out last week and sounded pretty good. In fact, let's get right to today's show with our good buddy Dean Legge. He's the publisher of Dog Post. And Dean, one of the things that Georgia's always taken pride in is being fiscally responsible. And it certainly looks like when you look at that number, when you look at the numbers that Georgia put out last year for the finances from last year, that once again, the Bulldog Athletic Department is in extremely good position moving forward.
Well, and the thing about it is, Chuck, that the reason why that matters is because you look around. I'm not going to even mention the names of other schools, but you look around at the situation that institutions get in on their athletic departments, and it really limits them if you don't watch what you're doing. And Georgia's not had that problem since Vince was around. I mean, from the get-go, Georgia's always taken care of that side of things. They've been very cautious and conservative as far as spending and watching the bottom line, because in talking with Greg McGarity over the last almost a year now since this whole thing has started, his worry has been this could get really bad really quick, and everybody avoided that because there was a college football season, but we didn't know that for sure in May. But Georgia could get through to the next year if there wasn't a college football season, but it had been dicey. And I don't know what the athletic department numbers will be later today. They're not going to look as good as what was reported to the NCAA, because that's a long story. But I think that, Georgia, they're going to have to figure out how to get through this 18 to 24 month stretch. It's still going to be close. I mean, but they have done a very good job of building a cash reserve above and beyond all their bonds that are due and so forth. So Georgia's been smart. This has not been fortunate, Chuck. They've been smart.
Yeah, and you mentioned Greg McGarrity, and one of the things Greg, I remember, used to say is if the budget is $100 for the year, you better believe that Georgia will not spend above $99.99. You know, that was one thing he was absolutely adamant about when he manned that chair. Now, of course, it's Josh Brooks in that position, and Josh's big concern, talking with him, is as we move forward here, hopefully exiting this pandemic and start to return to what they are planning for in the fall, which is full capacity, it's now going to be the security fans feel, you know, from a wellness standpoint of returning to games, returning to campus, returning, and that they've got to be able to remind people why it is they want to go to games.
Yeah, it's a great point. And, you know, when you look at the, you know, what revenues come in for Georgia and how they can pay for coaches like Kirby Smart and so forth, a lot of it comes from broadcasting, no question, but you cannot ignore donations and tickets. If people aren't going to go to games, that would affect ticket sales. Georgia's never had, really, that I can ever remember, issues with ticket sales. Georgia may not, but other schools will, and in terms of this fall. And, I mean, I don't know if we can sit here and say for sure that Georgia will be – that Sanford Stadium will be full capacity for seven or six games this season, because people, understandably, are cautious about, you know, am I sure I want to do this? Everything's changed. I mean, you look at broadcasting ratings in media, nevertheless in sports – and attendance, and the world has changed. We have to acknowledge that, and that's not different for the University of Georgia's athletic department. It's a challenge. Josh Brook has walked into a serious challenge that he's coming into. No incoming AD has ever faced a situation at Georgia where they're wondering how you got to be, you know, sanitation matters a lot, perception matters a lot. Getting everyone back to 93,000 people inside the stadium. You know, ADs have not had to worry about that in the past. This is Josh's challenge, and it's new, and that means it's going to be different.
All right, well, let's turn our attention to the game itself, football and spring practice, and how critical that's going to be for a Georgia team that has to face Clemson at that neutral site in Charlotte for the season opener. I mean, all the eyes of the college football world will be focused on that game. And so spring practice for the Dogs and a G-Day game, hopefully April 17th, is something Dean, is it fair to say, is almost a must?
They really need. I don't see why they would be delayed in a spring practice or anything like that. You never know, but yeah, it's critically. You know, it's critical here. I mean, they did not have that a season ago. You're talking about a lot of the offense coming back, with the exception of the spots on the offensive line. You've got a lot of people coming back. You've got development of younger players, younger quarterbacks, and then, you know, JT Daniels becoming 100% fully healthy with the knee, participating with Pickens, Burton, et cetera, and getting everything right. You know, you've got a lot of development that was not possible a season ago because there was no practice. And that 6 to 8 week period is normal. It is a way to get back to normal. And the only way to get where you want to go is to get those reps. I mean, you're talking about playing Clemson, a team that has taken a couple punches right in the face in big games these last couple of years, but they're very good. And it's a program that has got a lot of transition that they're going to have to deal with. Georgia wants to come into that game as going as fast as possible, high octane offense as possible against the Clemson defense that has shown cracks lately against that what I just described. So, yeah, spring practice is absolutely critical. You really want to get the 15 games in. I think it would be ideal if you could have G-Day with fans. If you do that all responsibly, like they did in the fall, that would be helpful. But one thing I do wonder, Chuck, is, you know, all these teams have played an entire season with muted attendance. And then all of a sudden, I think, in Charlotte, you're going to see a very full stadium. How's that? You know, how do you get ready for that after going 10 games without that? It's going to be weird. It's going to be strange.
No doubt. There's no doubt. But it's something we all want and want to see, of course. Talking with Dean Legge, the publisher of Dog Post. And Dean, before I let you go, the news broke about Demetrius Robertson last week and parking tickets, and then took a boot, I guess, off his car. And the next thing you know, he gets arrested. And how is this going to affect him? Kirby Smart has been well, I don't know any other way to say it than just, you know, he's been over backwards to do everything in the world to speak up for this young man all along, and then to have this happen.
Well, as a person who is very familiar with getting tickets on campus at Georgia for parking, you just pay it. You know, this is not up to Kirby to get right. This is up to, Demetrius to handle. Period. I mean, I don't really know what to say about it. It's not my take on it is not that hard. Everyone's gotten a ticket at Georgia. And if you pay the fine, you don't get booted. So, you know, what will happen? I don't know. I don't think this is something that you necessarily suspend the guy for, but he's got to handle his business. I mean, a part of becoming an adult and part of, you know, transitioning from college into the real world is just this sort of little stuff that you don't let add up. And it's a learning lesson. It's embarrassing for him. It's embarrassing for him. He's embarrassed himself and then the program. So, you know, but Georgia parking doesn't play around, you know, and it, but it's part of growing up. It's a responsibility. You've got to handle it. I don't know why he didn't. It would be like in the football world, running down the field, not making a block or just dropping a ball.
Yeah.
It's totally unforced error.
No doubt about it. And Dean, if you need any help paying any of those tickets, let me know.
Your sponsors are going to chip in.
Yeah, I don't want them flagging your grades, that's for sure.
Dean
Legge, publisher of Dog Post, here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. As always, appreciate it, my friend. We're going to take a break, come back, and turn our attention to that upcoming NFL draft, see how the Dogs are shaking out and prospects for that. That's next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Dialed into the Dogs all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on the Fan.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia Zone Credit Union Studios in the Butzmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Let's jump right into it. NFL draft coming up on the horizon in April. And Austin Gale, he's the Associate Director of Content at Pro Football Focus, joining us. And Austin, you've got a great article out. It's a mock draft, but not the ones like we normally think of what people are predicting. Well, you take it from the standpoint of what the general managers of the team should do, not what they will do.
Yep, exactly right, man. That's what PFF has been doing for a long time. You know, I think it's been, we are not very good at predicting what GMs will do. We're better off trying to swing the bat on what we do at every GM spot, and that's what this mock draft represents.
And but you know what? It's amazing. You've got that, as so many of these drafts have, you've got four quarterbacks in the first four picks.
Yeah, I really do think this quarterback class is one of the best that we've seen. You know, Trevor Lawrence, obviously kind of a generational talent at the quarterback position. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are already printing Trevor Lawrence jerseys in Jacksonville. No, obviously not, but I do think that that's the obvious pick for them. And then at two, like, if I am the New York Jets GM, I am not buying into the outlier improvement of Sam Darnold in his fourth season, because I do not see, even though he will be removed from Adam Gates and all the turmoil that comes with that, that roster being good enough for Sam Darnold to take a Josh Allen-like leap in improvement. A big reason why Josh Allen improved was, one, the addition of Brian Daboll, the addition of Cole Beasley, John Brown, investments in the offensive line, Stephon Diggs. They did so much to build around him, in addition to him improving significantly from an action perspective, led to that. Sam Darnold, at his best, say Sam Darnold is 50, 60, 70% better next year, the Jets maybe win eight games, maybe. That's not a situation the Jets want to find themselves in. I think they get aggressive at upgrading the position and trading Sam Darnold if there's value, or keeping him. Have Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold compete in camp. Have your quarter, or your coach play the best guy. The best guy starts, and then you're going to see better results there in New York. And then at number three, I have Miami Dolphins trading back with the Philadelphia Eagles. There's two situations the Eagles can do. They can trade up, get aggressive, and grab a better quarterback than they have now in Jalen Hurts or Carson Wentz, like a Justin Fields, or they can try to build around Jalen Hurts. One of those options, I think, is the better one. I think Justin Fields going up and getting him and trying to build around him rather than building around a second-round Jalen Hurts is probably the better option. At four, I think Trey Lance to Atlanta is one you're going to see a ton, because Matt Ryan still has multiple years on his deal, still a very competent quarterback in the NFL. But as you start to plan for the future, like the Green Bay Packers did with Jordan Love, adding a Trey Lance, a developmental piece that has a huge arm, could be the move for Atlanta.
Well, it's going to be interesting to watch as that unfolds with those first four picks. Let me ask you this. You've got one Georgia Bulldog going in that first round, and that's with the 22nd pick, Azeez Ojulari, who won the hearts of Dog Nation by choosing to take part in the bowl game in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, and then he had three sacks in that game, and you've got him going with the 22nd pick to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I really do like Azeez Ojulari. I talked to him multiple times this offseason. We specifically talked about that game against Cincinnati. He was having a good game against Cincinnati left tackle James Hudson. Then Hudson gets ejected, and that backup tackle comes in, and he went to feast. Three sacks in, like, consecutive plays. It was an absolute display for Azeez Ojulari. I think he might be the best pure speed rusher in this class, full stop. The best pure speed rusher in this class. And in a league where every team covets that speed along the edge, I do think he goes in the first round. I think the Tennessee Titans have been looking for pass rush help for multiple seasons now, adding guys like Harold Landry, Jadeveon Clowney, and Frazee. They just haven't had any that could stick. I think Azeez Ojulari is their guy back in the first.
Well, the Bulldogs have suffered a lot of attrition in their secondary as guys have moved toward the draft. Who do you see, say maybe going on that first few rounds out of that Bulldog secondary, and where they may end up?
Yeah, I think the two guys that will go either late day one, so late round one, or high day two, are the two outside corners, Tyson Campbell and Eric Stokes Jr. I do think both those guys, in their own right, are very talented cornerback prospects that just have to play a lot better in the NFL. Tyson Campbell is a five-star recruit, all the tools in the world, speed, length, athleticism, just hasn't played the position all that well at the collegiate level. Still needs to turn his head around, still needs to get better production in the NFL, especially going against better receivers. But that can come with development. Eric Stokes, a former track star, has the speed, I think just gets a little too physical at Georgia. I think he took advantage of the contact after 5 yards rule a lot in college, similar to another former Georgia Bulldog and DeAndre Baker. I think you see a lot of similarities in their game. Eric Stokes, obviously faster, but I do think if he can tone back some of that physicality to remove some maybe the future defensive pass interference plays in his NFL career, I think then he could be another competent player as well.
Well, it certainly Georgia has suffered with, you know, in that secondary. Now we got to come up with a lot of answers as a result of those guys moving on. And one of the guys that is moving on, I think, is a bit of a question mark because of the accident, motorcycle accident that he had, Richard LeCount, because he provided so much leadership to Georgia's secondary. But now he's going, of course, to the NFL. And the fact that he had that injury situation, has that damaged him in the prospects for the draft?
Yeah, I do think I see LeCount as a late day two, day three type of player. I do think the injuries factor. I also think that there's some stiffness to his tape. I think he could. There's so much of his strength are leadership and the cerebral elements of the game, playing the game with good instincts, you know, play recognition, these things. But you have to be an elite athlete in the NFL if you want to go inside the top 50, top 75 picks. I just don't think you see that with LeCount on his tape. I do think you see what you do see is a very smart football player, a very productive football player on and off the field.
Well, Austin, we certainly appreciate your time. And again, that's a great read. If somebody's would like to go to the you're the director of content at Pro Football Focus, and Pro Football Focus has this great article that you've written. Again, and what you take the mock draft at what general managers should do, not what they will do. And as we well know, they don't always do what they should do. That's as time will tell to all of them. But Austin Gale here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. We appreciate his time. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, talk with our buddy Dave Neal. He'll be calling the game tonight as Georgia takes on Missouri at Stegman Coliseum. That's next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
This is Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, and you're listening to the Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan on FM at 93.7. Go Dawgs!
Thank you, Coach. And by the way, before we get to our buddy Dave Neal, let me tell you, we've got a four-pack of tickets to give away to tonight's game. You're going to need to pick up the tickets at the radio station in the Battery there by Truist Park. So first caller to 404-231-1680, 404-231-1680, four tickets to tonight's Georgia-Missouri game. And let's turn our attention to the guy that will be calling the game for the SEC Network. He's kind of the voice and face of the SEC, Dave Neal. Dave? This has been, and before I get to tonight's game, this has been a strange basketball season in the Southeastern Conference. It's almost like football never ended. You've still got Alabama way out ahead of everybody.
Yeah, I know. And it's I know SEC fans probably hate that Alabama just gets talked about day in and day out. But, I mean, heck, Chuck, they are really good and fun to watch. They got a great young coach who lets his guys play the game a little bit. He's got his system in place. And you know, I've had them shoot 6-7 times this year, and every time, man, when the game's over, I'm like, man, that was fun. Yeah. You know, they just play the game differently than teams right now, and I think it's a trend that we're going to see. Gonzaga plays that way as well under Mark Few, so we'll see how this translates down the road. But for right now, it's all about Alabama.
Is it fair to say that that they're a bigger surprise doing as well as they're doing than Kentucky is doing as poorly as it's doing?
Well, I would say from a national perception that Kentucky's downfall this year has certainly garnered the headlines more so than Alabama. But, I think for a lot of us, Chuck, we were waiting for this kind of the way things have been playing out with these one-and-dones and getting these great five-star kids and all of them. Coach Calipari's done a great job in kind of handling that, managing those situations. And, you know, I think the naysayers out there kept waiting for this to happen, you know, so they have pounced on it, you know, just time and time again. And look, everybody, you can't win 25 games every year. You know, I mean, it's hard to do it. And maybe the system is flawed the way that Duke and Kentucky have gone about their business recruiting. So I think because it's Kentucky, it's garnered most of the national attention. And so I think under the radar is Alabama. Nobody's given them, I think, their due outside of the South. I think nationally when the NCAA tournament begins, and maybe that'll pick up a little bit, you know, but I really think from on a bigger scale that Alabama's been one of those teams that's probably hadn't been shown the respect they probably deserve at this point. And it might have, some of that has to do with the fact they lost a couple of games early that, you know, they shouldn't have lost. But once we got to January, they've really been on a roll.
Well, you're not going to get any complaints about credit going to Alabama after what we saw on Saturday. They put up 115 against us. But again, tonight, now you're calling a game, the Dogs against Missouri, and Missouri, the third consecutive ranked opponent that Georgia has faced. What is Georgia in for tonight?
Well, I think what a bonus for Georgia is the fact that it looks like Jeremiah Tillman, Missouri's outstanding post player, had a death in the family, and I'm not so sure he's going to be available tonight. He missed their last game, which was a loss to Arkansas at home. It was a hard-fought game, and they lost by five. And Arkansas has been on a roll, so obviously, not a lot to hang your head on losing to a team like that. But not having a Tillman certainly creates some opportunities for the post players. You know, Tamani Kamara could be a guy that could step inside, get some points for you. Garcia could be a guy that could step up and have a decent game. I just think that this is an opportunity for Georgia maybe to get their heads right again, because I'm anxious to see how Georgia responds. Giving up 115 points to somebody in the league is painful. And it should never happen. It shouldn't. I mean,
You're right.
And so where is this Georgia team now? Offensively, they've been pretty good, Chuck. I I've seen them enough to know that if they can't guard somebody, they're not going to win. I mean, they just, as well as they score, they just can't outscore some of these teams in this league. And they got to commit to defense, and it's a simple statement, but that's why coaches get paid multiple millions of dollars to figure it out. That's not my job. And I think that Coach Crean is doing everything he can to figure it out, but somehow they got to play defense.
Yeah, he has talked time and time again about particularly the transition defense not being good. And when it's the amazing thing is that, and the players have to see this, that when it is good, they give themselves a chance if they don't just outright win.
Right, and it is so obvious that you can also see when they get two or three stops in a row, what that does for them on the other end of the floor, the confidence. Guys are ready to take shots. I'm trying to remember what game it was I had a few weeks ago. Maybe it was the Ole Miss game. Matter of fact, I think it was Ole Miss. And they just lost back-to-back games to Florida and South Carolina, talking about Georgia, and gave up 83 points, got smoked by South Carolina, gave up 92 to Florida. Then they come around and they hold Ole Miss to 61 points. And Ole Miss has been playing great now, right? Really, since that game, Ole Miss has been on a tear. But you could see the confidence, and it was from the defensive end. They started making stops. Guys on the offensive end started to feel comfortable with their shot. They were letting it fly. You could just see the demeanor change as the game was going on. So that's how important I think getting some stops defensively will be for Georgia. I don't care if it's Missouri tonight or Florida the next game or LSU or South Carolina to wrap up the regular season. They just got to make a few more stops than they're doing, and maybe that will translate to some wins.
Dave, can't thank you enough. I know you got to run, but really appreciate your time. Good luck on the call tonight. Good luck to the Dogs. And by the way, you know it is 30 minutes later.
Yes. Thanks for telling me, because there's a chance that I would have missed that. Thanks for the sponsor. Yeah. Always a pleasure, buddy. I'll talk to you.
All right. SEC Network's Dave Neal. He'll be calling the Missouri-Georgia game tonight out of Stegman Coliseum. To all of you in the Bulldog Nation, thanks so much for being with us. Stay tuned for Home Team in Hamilton. They're next here on 680 The Fan, and let's have a great Bulldog day, everybody.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.